Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, January 13, 2022. We are now joined by Nick Leckie. And Nick, to promote your appearance today, I have found a picture of you in a Cardinals uniform since they they're in the playoffs. I could have used Rams, but I think the sexy pick is the Cardinals. And so, as you see, two of your former teams battling it out on Monday Night Football in the playoffs. Who will your heart be rooting for, the Cardinals or the Rams?
Arizona. I'll always have love for, you know, my first. You know, they drafted me in the sixth round, and, you know, they're a great organization. Can't say the same about Kroenke.
That's right.
From an organizational standpoint. But I know Mike B has really done well from his dad, Mr. Bidwell, RIP. And they just really, I mean, talk about father to son, change up the whole culture of an organization. And I'll forever have love and gratitude for Michael Bidwell. Awesome human being.
Stupid of me, but this is the first time it occurred to me that you have two former St. Louis franchises going toe-to-toe in this game.
How about that? I
haven't really thought about that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The Chicago Cardinals.
St. Louis didn't have a team, so.
They were the St. Louis Cardinals when I was a little kid.
Yeah, it's that's like, right. Well, I remember when I was in St. Louis, they were like, football Cardinals or baseball Cardinals?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Do I look like a baseball Cardinal?
Maybe.
Slugging first baseman,
you know? Favorite, though? You know who my favorite baseball player ever is? Prince Fielder.
Right.
By far, with, like, no question. And then Nolan Ryan was second.
All right, I'll take it. I liked Cecil Fielder, but Prince Fielder also was very enjoyable. Especially when he was a little boy, and he'd be there with Cecil Fielder. You could pass for a big slugging first baseman.
Yeah, absolutely,
I could.
You got a big Poppy
Pablo
build
Sandoval.
To you.
Yeah. Pablo Sandoval was one of my favorites too. I like those. Those guys just play with a smile because you know they just had dugout nachos in the dugout before the game.
Right.
That's why I respect him.
Yeah, you're definitely a John Kruk guy. You know, back in the day.
Oh gosh, that guy was raw. See, he's probably too late night bars for me. You know what I'm saying? John Kruk. I never got it. I got
gotcha.
Late night, but he's probably like, let's see the sunrise. And I'm like, no, I'm good, John. You know, I don't like cigarettes either.
Okay,
love cigars.
Well, we had this conversation a little bit earlier about who the top five coaches are in the NFL because. We think it's a matchup of two of them at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday night between Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin. And we had Bill Belichick one, we had Andy Reid two, and then we kind of had an open discussion of who would be third, either John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin. And then the candidates for number five behind them would be Sean Payton, Mike Vrabel, I think Pete Carroll got a little bit of love. Who else did we throw in there? Is that Bruce Arians? So who would be your top five NFL head coaches? And you played for one of them in Sean Payton, so maybe you got some favoritism there. But who would be your top five in order?
Man, you have to look at this. You got to say, like, Belichick is at the top because he had Tom Brady forever, and then now he's finding a way to win with Matt Jones. So you got to put Belichick on the top just because now it seems like Bruce Arians wasn't doing much of anything until he got, you know, Tom Brady. So Bruce Arians, you know, they assembled a great squad down in Tampa. You just needed Tom Brady to come in, and then you needed a dilapidated offensive line. So I would put Bruce Arians maybe top 10.
Okay.
You know, if that, just because, I mean, he had a great squad, but couldn't do anything until Brady got there.
Is Andy Reid number two?
Really didn't do anything versus the Chiefs either.
Is
I mean, it was a dilapidated Chiefs.
Is Andy Reid number two behind Bill Belichick?
You know, I would say so, because Andy Reid's won with multiple quarterbacks. You know, he wins regular season games, you know, wins playoff games, got his first Super Bowl. His coaching tree is phenomenal, but they can't do much without him. I mean, obviously outside of, was it Nagy or whoever's in Philly special?
Right, Doug Peterson.
So it's all dependent on quarterback play. I mean, you need to have that quarterback head coach duo, two-headed monster to win. Look at Sean McVay. He's an innovator. You know, he'll get there. Sean Payton, top coach, dealing with injury, though, this year and COVID. Who are the top coaches? Harbaugh and Tomlin, I would say, would have to be, I'd put Tomlin number two. I might be one. But he's always had Big Ben. That's the thing about Tomlin.
You got to say for Harbaugh, he's the one that's won a Super Bowl without, like, Hall of Fame quarterback play.
Yeah, you got to put Harbaugh in play because they always have a defense, right? They've always had, you know, a defense. And this is what they've been known for. They created that defensive culture. So, gosh, you could make a case for Harbaugh at number one. I mean, a lot of people are probably going to say, you know, what are the Super Bowl championships? And sometimes that's an anomaly game. I mean, you know, it's like a one-off. Like, I like how the NBA or other sports where they go, best of seven, see who's really that good. But obviously you can't do it in football because it would take forever.
It would be awesome if they could.
We have Nick Leckie on the line. So the Steelers got blown out by the Chiefs on December 26th. Both teams are healthier now. But I've seen plenty, you know, ESPN, NFL Network, they're trying to create a storyline here and find ways to make this game compelling. And most of them are going with the idea that, okay, the Steelers weren't even supposed to be here. They had no pressure on them. Ben Roethlisberger's last hurrah. TJ Watt's healthy. This, that, and everything else. The Chiefs didn't look great the last couple of weeks of the season. Do you buy into any of that, or do you think the Chiefs kick ass again on Sunday night?
No, I don't. No. I don't at all. The Chiefs have been struggling to put together any sort of consistency on offense. They have the talent. That's not the question. They have the abilities, but they just can't link it together for somehow. It doesn't look fluid. They look fluid versus Pittsburgh during regular season, and they got up on them early, which will be key to do this weekend versus Pittsburgh. You got to get on them early because Pittsburgh's a veteran team, and there's nothing like, oh, okay, we've exfoliated, we've washed the regular season stink off us. You know, we've come out of our chrysalis, and we're a beautiful butterfly now. We're a playoff butterfly. Hmm. And don't forget, Pittsburgh in 05 season went up to Indianapolis, and they beat Indianapolis at home, and Indianapolis is upset. So I'm getting them same kind of black vibe or black cat vibes here, as far as, like, you know, largest underdog ever, and then the Chiefs think that they can just turn it on for playoffs and it'll be good. So if they have success early, yeah, Chiefs win. But if it's tied at halftime, I don't know, man. I'm not that confident.
Oh, stop it! I want you to listen to this clip from Ben Roethlisberger at his press conference yesterday, and of course some of this is tongue-in-cheek, but he is playing the underdog card very heavily here. Here's what Ben had to say to the Pittsburgh media yesterday.
I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. I hope we don't go in and get blown out by 20 or 30 points. I don't think Pat didn't play in the first one, and we'll see what happens. I mean, they didn't have guys playing there on their team either. So, from what I understand, I'm sure both teams will be close to full strength as you can get this time of year. And, you know, we'll just go.
Hopefully keep it close. Hope we don't lose by 20 or 30 points. You know, if we probably shouldn't be in the playoffs. With 14 playoff teams, we're number 14. In another part of the press conference, he said, "You know, Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl back to back years. They're not the number one seed, but they're, you know, probably the best team. We just hope we go down there and we go to Kansas City, not get blown out." He's having a little bit of fun with this, isn't he?
Oh, he's a vet. He could. I mean, Ben. Listen to this crazy stat. Ben Roethlisberger and I are share one thing, that we're both in the 2004 draft class.
Ah,
think about that,
man.
Like I can't even. He's in that Peyton or that Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger 2004 draft class. He's totally. I don't. He is over it as far as like media stuff, and he's definitely speaking out both sides of his mouth. On that one for sure. He's feeding. He's doing the sugar bear technique, as Mark Schlereth would say, the honey bear, the sugar bear technique, where you say, oh, yeah, you're doing a great game. Good job. Keep it up. You know, you're doing fantastic. But knowing full well, you go back to that locker room, you're like, hey, it's time. Like, let's form like Voltron, and let's get things started here. And to me, honestly, I think obviously it'll be a defensive battle for sure, because that's Pittsburgh and T.J. Watt. But I think Cam Hayward's going to be licking his chops, you know, facing this interior offensive line for Kansas City. I think Cam Hayward's going to look to attack everybody. I think Trey Smith is really good, but his pass blocking could use, you know, his second, third move on pass blocking can get beat at times. Joe Tooney is very susceptible to Cam Hayward's bull rush. So we'll see, man. I mean, it's going to be a battle, and if they lose that, the Cam Hayward battle inside, that's a wrap. You ain't going to get anything going on offense, and that's what scares me.
What was the word you used a little bit ago about the Chiefs were going to bust out of their
chrysalis?
Chrysalis. Tell me, I'm learning things here. What's that? What is that word?
It's from a moth, right? It's from a moth home, and then
it's
they
like
bust out of it and they become a butterfly. Yeah.
Is that the same thing as a cocoon, or is it like different than a cocoon?
Chrysalis turns into a butterfly.
Okay. I'm learning stuff. Thank you. How do you spell that?
Chrysalis,
maybe chrysalis.
Yep, you got it.
Ding.
Nice. You know, you mentioned that 2004 draft, and I'm looking. You were the second player taken in the sixth round, right behind Sean Johnson, defensive end out of Delaware, and just ahead of wide receiver Jamar Taylor out of Texas A&M. But you mentioned the quarterbacks that were taken in that first round.
Amazing.
Now there were four of them taken in the first round. The fourth one,
J.P. Lossman.
Yeah, J.P. Lossman did not pan out.
Mm.
But so I just, you know, maybe it's not a difficult question, but I think it's kind of interesting. Who was the best quarterback taken in that first round? Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, or Ben Roethlisberger?
I like Roethlisberger just because I think, just based off mobility, you know, I think Eli, you know, lucked out versus the Giants, you know, or versus the Patriots. You know, he made some great plays. But if I'm picking a quarterback, and I think Philip Rivers was an awesome leader and had some studs around him. But I like the escapability of Roethlisberger. I mean, he's a big body and he can move. Like, I remember, you know, at the Senior Bowl when he was coming out, he was a junior out of Miami of Ohio, and he couldn't participate in the Senior Bowl, but those scouts were sweating him. I overheard him saying, look, this is Ben Roethlisberger. He ran like a 4.7 at like, you know, 240 or something like that. So he's got the speed. You know, obviously it's dwindling, but he's a big body. He's tough to take down.
You guys agree? Was Roethlisberger the best?
This is without looking at the numbers, but I feel like Roethlisberger is like if you combined the careers of Philip Rivers and Eli Manning. Because, like, Philip Rivers put up all the numbers and won on a consistent basis, but never won a Super Bowl.
But you switched them spots, then I don't think there's any question that Philip Rivers has a Super Bowl.
I don't think you can do it in New York? That's a hypothetical. I don't think you can say there's no question. I mean,
Ben Roethlisberger didn't do much the first time they won a Super Bowl. Didn't do a whole lot.
Right.
He saved that versus the Colts, that Jerome Bettis fumble. You know, he made that game, that touchdown save.
I didn't say he didn't do anything. I said he didn't do it.
That was one of the biggest plays in his career. I remember that.
Yeah, that was big time.
Yeah, with Bettis fumbled, and it looked like it was going to be a touchdown, and he somehow tripped him up around the 50-yard line.
He was definitely, like Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, he was more of a game manager early on.
This is wild. Manning threw for 57,000 yards. Rivers threw for 63,440. Roethlisberger, 64,088. Touchdown passes. I mean, damn, all these guys are in the, these three guys are in the top 11. Touchdown passes, 366. Okay, 366. Touchdowns, 244 interceptions for Manning. 421 and 209 for Rivers. 418 and 211 for Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger had 20 touchdown runs. Rivers had three. Manning had seven. I mean, yeah, it's wild. I mean, Rivers and Roethlisberger's numbers are really, really close, but obviously the biggest difference is
Super Bowl.
Roethlisberger's,
give it,
you know, but
yeah, that's what I was. Yeah. Like, that's what I was trying to say is like you combine the two. He had the stats of Rivers and the Super Bowls of Manning.
Right, but like, what if Rivers goes to Pittsburgh?
Who knows?
Behind him.
How many does he win? You know.
But it's like it's hard
to
picture.
Good, yeah, right. It's pretty good. I mean, all of them turned to be
great,
incredible careers.
But it's hard to picture Philip Rivers in Pittsburgh because
he never played there.
Right.
It's really hard to picture.
That's right. That's right. But it just seemed like the type of player Philip Rivers was doesn't jive with the type of organization the Steelers are. In my mind,
a fiery guy.
Whininess. Well, just the kind of the swashbucklingness of it too. You know, like that's not the Steelers. I don't know.
And well, you look at this too. Wasn't Philip Rivers playing in AFC West when the AFC West was going through like the Crennel and Todd Haley years?
And that was part of his time. Right. There.
They rattled off several division championships in a row.
Yep.
So like, you know, you got to look at that. Whereas Big Ben was battling, you know, that AFC North or whatever it is, whatever division they're in, which was Baltimore, and you know, it's like, dang.
But Rivers also had to go against Andy Reid a bunch too.
Yeah, sure. Didn't have much success then.
Okay, so let me ask you this way about these AFC games this weekend: which road team has the best chance to win? Steelers at Chiefs, Patriots at the Bills, or Raiders at Bengals?
Oh. God, that's going to be tough because you're looking at revenge games for all of them. But if I'm going to say someone... I just think that defense. I think you might be looking at one of the first soccer scores in a playoff ever, and I think New England might win 3-0 versus Buffalo. And I just think that defense was so good. Josh Allen's a threat. Absolutely, he's a threat. You know, Diggs is a threat. But man, I think that defense. Man, they battled what two times already in December.
Right.
Like, geez. I mean, that's so. It's a rubber band match, right? They're both 1-1 versus each other.
And first time around, the Bengals hammered the Raiders. And the first time around, the Chiefs hammered the Steelers.
Yep, exactly. So a lot of revenge games coming up. A lot of, you know, chalkboard games.
And the other, it is going to be interesting to watch, too, because, look, has David Carr started a postseason game?
I don't know.
No, this is Mahomes and Las Vegas' first wild card game ever.
Or Derek Carr.
I guess that.
Right, but Carr, yeah, because when they made the playoffs a few years ago, Carr was hurt. I said Derek Carr. Yeah, I don't think he's played the postseason.
First, I think it's his first one.
Yeah. And so, you know, but he's a veteran. Who's been around? Jake's looking up Buckeyes. He's been around forever.
I don't see
forever.
Any postseason stats for him whatsoever.
No, he got hurt that year. He's having
both,
a great year.
No,
yeah.
Listen, it's Mahomes and Carr's first wild card game ever.
Yeah, but I mean, this is Carr's first postseason game ever, period.
Uh-huh.
And so then he and the Burrows never played a postseason game. Mac Jones has never played in a postseason game. And so, the experience goes to Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger in that game, and then Josh Allen, of course. How much do you put into that? Because I do think it's interesting. They've been able to they were able to hide Mac Jones that first time that they played the Bills and they won. And I don't know what to expect. I give the Raiders a really good chance here because the Bengals have been inconsistent. And I that wouldn't shock me if they lost, but considering both quarterbacks are making the first postseason start, I don't know what to make of that. How much do you factor in playoff experience when you look at these matchups?
None. I mean, it is a different animal, but you just know you got to step up your game that much. You got to watch that much more film. You got to, you know, be dialed in a little bit more. You're gonna have a little bit more of a wide open game plan. You're gonna be, you know, firing on all cylinders for sure. And so, I mean, I look at Las Vegas versus that game in San Diego. I mean, in Las Vegas versus the Chargers. I mean, Chargers. They were living on prayers for that last fourth quarter with all their conversions, and they still managed to escape the victory. So I think you look at Herbert and Burrow, they're similar quarterbacks in their style, where, you know, they can make some really great throws and they can have some escapability. You know, they're playing with a lot of talent around them. But, I mean, Cincinnati looks dangerous. You know, they're a wild card depending on which Cincinnati you get, because they could light you up. And even if you shut down the guy who had 500 yards, Ja'Marr Chase, you still got a lot of threats. I really do. Like, I was like, Higgins is legit as like a second or third option.
Tyler Boyd's a stud.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, yeah. Veteran running back, Mixon. I mean, come on. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
It's fun.
I'm kind of curious, Nick, what you think about when it comes to the playoff experience thing. You know, like the Chiefs, I think of the Chiefs in the 90s, especially under Marty Schottenheimer, when they would make Marty Schottenheimer had a lot of playoff experience, and it almost seemed like it got to a point where that was a negative because all of his playoff experience was bad. And we've talked to Chiefs players who said you could tell that he tightened up, it had gotten to him. And he wasn't the same guy when the postseason rolled around that he was in the regular season, and it kind of affected the whole team. I'm not suggesting that the Bills and Titans are there yet, but those guys that Stevens mentioned, like Allen and Tannehill, they have playoff experience, but a lot of that experience is like losing to the Chiefs. Is that does that become a factor at some point for those guys?
Over time, you know, when you get beat down, look at the Buffalo Bills, right? When they were in the 90s, they made it to, what, four straight Super Bowls and went 0-4. So it's just one of those things where, man, yeah, you can. Like, I remember Sean Payton's demeanor changed in the playoffs, but for the better, where he became more aggressive, and he became way more aggressive in the playoffs, and he kind of was like, okay, it's like he kind of like a breath. He was like, all right, now I can open up the playbook. Mm. Now I can start doing everything. Now I can start managing you guys from a locker room standpoint. You know, your personality, say, hey, you know, talk your noise in the media if you want. Go for it. I don't care. You know, it's like, hey, here's how we're going to play, or here's something we've been kind of holding back a little bit. And playoffs is where it takes a complete team. It takes the coach motivating the players. Like, you have to motivate, and players have to find that ounce of motivation to make a run. I mean, that's why Baltimore did so well with Ray Lewis's last year, because, you know, you galvanized the team. You played as one. So you got to find that common enemy, and it's not necessarily the person, the people you're playing against, but you just got to find get streaky at the right time is what it comes down to. You got to be peaking at the right time.
So what's the score going to be on Sunday night at Arrowhead?
Man. Man, it depends. Okay, it depends on healthy running backs. You know, I think that if the Chiefs can find their running backs, I think they'll be good. I think they'll be real good. And if, you know, they can, you know, double team Cam Hayward, then I think they'll be good too. So I'm thinking if they can do that, be successful running the ball and get stuff going early, I'm thinking 24-13, Chiefs.
24-13, 11-point victory, but not a cover, as Jake will note.
Yeah.
Nick Lecky, also, before we let you go, I'd love to invite you out to lunch. We're going to have a nice lunch remote today. I'll be at Tequila Harry's today from 11 until 1. And if you wear your team colors, you get a $10 gift card. And they have $5 house margs and frozen margs all day, plus the 8-10 lunch special, a Sancho or a burrito bowl. So a delicious lunch remote with me at Tequila Harry, southeast corner of College Boulevard and Corvira in Overland Park. So if you're out and about for lunch, stop by Tequila Harry's and see me today, Nick, from 11 until 1.
That sounds great.
It's
a good plan.
That's right. I got you. So let me know. Nick, as always, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jess. Have a great one.
You too. That's Nick Lecky, former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints, also played for the Rams and the Cardinals. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.